2 weeks ago, a young Swedish woman named Greta Thunberg spoke before the United Nations Climate Action Summit in New York City. The words that she delivered before the assembly of world leaders were blunt, and one newspaper described them as stinging. She started off by saying to those in the room, "This is all wrong. I shouldn't be here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean, yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the middle of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?" Those are stinging words indeed. And her words become even more amazing when you realize that Greta Thunberg is just 16 years old. She lives in Stockholm, Sweden, with her parents. She explains that she first learned about climate change when she was 8 years old, and she could not understand why so little was being done about it. She convinced her parents to lower their carbon footprint by becoming vegan and by giving up flying. A year ago, when Greta was just 15, she began protesting by standing outside the Swedish Parliament building, handing out flyers, and holding up a sign that read, "School Strike for Climate." These actions inspired students in other communities to engage in similar protests. And very quickly, Greta became a powerful voice in the global movement to address climate change. And she was, 2 weeks ago, invited to speak at the United Nations. I believe strongly that we are indeed in a crisis of climate change. I believe that human actions have a negative effect on our global environment. Massive deforestation and the burning of fossil fuels are contributing to spiraling global temperatures, rising ocean temperatures, more frequent and intense heat, more destructive hurricanes, more extreme weather events, melting glaciers, and much more. Scientists around the world have reached an overwhelming consensus that climate change is real, and it is caused primarily by human activity. According to the National Academy of Science, quote, "The need for urgent action to address climate change is now indisputable." So, if I believe in the veracity of climate change, what am I doing about it? Well, it's embarrassing to admit, but I'm doing very little. I do try to limit how much I drive, but not very well. I monitor the energy I consume. It's a lot. I do recycle. But sadly, I feel that what I can do will have little overall impact. I'm not yet willing to live off the grid. I'm not willing to become vegan. I like air conditioning. I like the convenience of flying long distances. But if I were to do the math, I should be able to make a difference. I am an adult living in the United States. I have multiple educational degrees. I'm a professional speaker. I literally have a pulpit. And I have an audience. On paper, I have far more power than 16-year-old Greta Thunberg. But I wasn't invited to speak at the United Nations. And she was. And why is that? There's a difference between her and I. Greta has faith. Not Christian faith as we understand it, but faith as defined by the dictionary. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Greta's faith is in herself to bring about change. I'm not saying that this is an arrogance on her part, but it's an intensity, a focus, a commitment to do what is right despite the cost. Her faith is based on the cold logic that if we don't act, then we will destroy our world as we know it. Our reading today from the Gospel of Luke is part of a larger collection of Jesus' sayings, which we find in chapter 17. Now, we don't believe that Jesus spoke all these words back to back as they are printed in our Bibles, but rather that Luke collected them and placed them together in this location under the large umbrella of things that Jesus teaches his disciples and followers. Our reading for today consists of two separate parables: the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the worthless slaves. In the first, in the parable of the mustard seed, the disciples demand that Jesus increase their faith. And this is not an unreasonable demand. If they're going to be Christ followers doing Jesus' work, they should want and need more faith. It's like an athlete saying to the coach, "Hey, coach, make me stronger." A stronger athlete is a better athlete. A disciple with more faith is a better disciple. Jesus responds to their request. He says to them, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you then could say to this mulberry tree here, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." A mustard seed, as we all know from Vacation Bible School, is an extremely small seed. It's not the smallest of seeds by any measure. But Jesus' audience would have been familiar with a mustard seed and how it grows into a large, ungainly bush. The lesson here is that faith in any amount is sufficient. It's not about having more faith or stronger faith. It's rather about just having faith. Even the smallest amount is enough to do incredible things. For example, with faith, you could, command a tree, a mulberry tree, maybe an oak tree, to uproot itself and plant itself in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus is not implying that faith is magic, but that faith is power. I like to think that when he was telling this parable to people, that Jesus was simply pointing at whatever was nearby. He would say, with faith, you could command that tree there to jump into that lake there and plant itself. If it were me telling the parable, I might say, with faith, you could turn this pulpit into a porcupine. Have faith and the inconceivable becomes possible. For Greta Thunberg, her faith allows her to speak truth to those in power. If you have faith the size of a small Swedish girl, you can address the leaders of the world and they will obey you. Comments made by some of the leaders at that UN summit indicate that after hearing Greta speak so forcefully, they do intend to make changes. Maybe they wanted to make these changes all along, and it just took the blunt and stinging words of a person of faith to push them along. But we do need to do something, because it was reported just this week that across the globe, the month of September was the warmest September on record. And one of the areas hit most severely was us. As people of faith, do we exercise our faith? Speaking today, Jesus may have put it this way. He might have said, if you have faith the size of an atom, you can move mountains. And an atom, as we know, it's terribly small, much smaller than a mustard seed. Atomic faith would be small, but split that atom and you can move mountains. Faith is not about quantity. It is about our willingness to be in relation with God. The first parable in our reading is the parable of the mustard seed. The second is the parable of the worthless slaves. This parable is problematic for us in that it deals with the relationship between a slave and his master. In telling this parable, Jesus, he looks out over the crowd that he's talking to, and he poses this question. He says, who among you would say to your slave, who has just finished a day of work in the fields, who would say, come and take your place with me at the table. We'll have dinner. Now, the people in the crowd, they would have gotten a chuckle at the notion that any of them owned slaves. Jesus' people were the poor, those at the lowest end of the economic ladder. There may even have been slaves in that audience as well. But Jesus asked them, so when your slave comes in at the end of the day, do you invite him to take his place at the dinner table? Or, as master, do you tell him to keep working, to put on the apron, and to fix dinner for you, and to wait on you while you eat and drink, and then later when everything's done, he can eat? When the slave has completed his task, do you, the master, thank him for his work that you commanded him to do? And again, Jesus' listeners would have gotten a chuckle as they imagined ever getting thanked from someone above them for doing their job. Jesus rounds out this second parable saying, so you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, you then say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. Jesus here is speaking to his disciples and his followers about how in their lives of faith, in their relationship with God, they take on that attitude of a slave who is only doing his job. They feel overworked and underappreciated, and no one ever says, thank you. That's how they feel as disciples. What Jesus is telling his disciples is, yes, they're like the slaves. They only do what they are required to do and no more. And they expect to be thanked for it. This parable, the parable of the worthless slaves, teaches that the exercise of faith is doing more than just the bare minimum. The exercise of faith is more than just skating by. The disciples, yes, they do follow God's commandments. They give when they're asked. They sacrifice at the temple. They are righteous men. But they do so with the attitude of slaves being ordered by their master. Faith, Jesus is saying, faith is to be expressed with joy and with extravagance. To be a follower of Christ introduces a new way of living. Last Saturday, many of you here gathered in the fellowship hall to assemble meals for those who might otherwise go hungry. And what we did in there essentially was we filled 2,000 baggies with a mixture of rice, soy, and dried veggies. On the one hand, well, it was repetitious, tedious work, wasn't it? But on the other hand, it was fun. Every one of you came here and approached the task with an attitude of joy, not drudgery. Yes, you sacrificed a Saturday morning, but you were doing so not as slaves, but as disciples following Christ's commands. When we can approach the ordinary task in our lives as opportunities to live out our faith, it's then that we can discover the extraordinary depths of God's love for us. And we can also discover the seemingly ordinary, but really quite extraordinary, people around us. Those who, when we get together, we have fun. Fun in the name of Jesus Christ. We all want our lives to be one mountaintop experience after another. And there's nothing wrong with a mountaintop experience, but the reality is life is mostly the mundane. But even the most mundane act of faith carries extraordinary potential for transforming the world to reflect God's kingdom. I know I will never address the United Nations, but I can take joy in the simplest task of recycling a glass bottle or a plastic bag. Today, we celebrated communion. And communion isn't some grand feast. Well, it was this morning. It was wonderful. But communion normally is just a bit of bread and a sip of juice. But it is sufficient. And when we take communion, we don't complain about the meager portions. We rejoice in how it connects us to God and to one another. As followers of Christ, we don't need to worry about the size of our faith. We should simply go about living in obedience to Jesus' commands. As we will read later in Luke's gospel, whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. Let us be faithful in all that we do. May every action be done in joy and in discipleship. Amen.